Hello, everyone. On today's podcast, do you know how to differentiate between the physical and the metaphysical? And even more importantly, do you understand that the reluctance or inability to differentiate between those two greatly limits our ability to live our potential? Ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode, we explore, expand, and evolve our understanding of the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity and exponential growth. And now welcome your hosts, Dr. Jeffrey Smith and Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. We are super excited that you're here today. I'm here with my amazing friend, Dr. Jeffrey Smith. Hi, Jeff.
Greetings, Jim. How are you today?
Doing well. Excited to be here again and ready to go on an adventure like we always do. Pretty exciting times. Let's dive into the shout out. What do you think?
Absolutely. And we'll treat our friends to a podcast high today. But before we do, let's give a mention to a really cool organization in Vista, California called Solutions for Change. They've been around for 25 years and they take families who are homeless or living in their car. They put them through a 2-year long program and return them as productive citizens to our community again. They could always use some volunteer help as well as some financial contribution. A great organization led by some wonderful people. You can find them at www.solutionsforchange.org.
Fantastic. Well, it's great to be here. As we talked about at the beginning of the show, we're going to dive into some pretty amazing stuff here in coming off the tails of your amazing adventure with plant-based medicine, which is actually where we're going to go today. We're going to talk a bit about this whole idea of the physical and the metaphysical and how our culture and what we live in and what we've built around it is so strongly focused in the physical that we almost are afraid to go to the metaphysical when the metaphysical is where what we want really exists. So I'm going to let Jeff jump off with this one because this was his topic to start. And here we go. Let's dive in.
Right on, Jim. I was hoping you could give us a quick definition of the word medicine as we prepare to unravel this thing.
I sure can. So we always like to give our definitions so that we kind of know what the baseline is for what most everybody thinks of some of the terms and things that we use. So medicine, as defined as a noun, is a science or practice of the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of disease, in technical use, often taken to exclude surgery. The other definition is a compound or preparation used for treatment and the prevention of disease, especially a drug or drugs taken by mouth. And then there was another definition that had to do with, especially among some North American Indian peoples, which I'm surprised they just limited to North American Indians, that it would be a spell, a charm, or fetish believed to have healing, protective, or other power.
Right on.
So those are our definitions for medicine.
Right. And embedded in all of those definitions is this notion that someone is sick, someone is broken, someone is damaged, and that they need to be healed, which again, kind of is circular discussion. If you need healing, you're broken, you're damaged, you're sick, you need something. Something is in the physical domain, the physical realm. Touch it, feel it, hold it, smell it, use all the senses. That was part of the definition as well.
Yeah, give me a pill.
To ameliorate or resolve whatever symptoms I'm presenting with. So going back to the late December experience that I got to have with psilocybin, which is a molecule which resides in the physical domain, the physical world. We drank it, so it was something physical. And everything that I had read, studied, learned about, believed, got me to the place where I was more comfortable referring to these molecules as medicines than I was thinking of them as drugs, and particularly psychedelic drugs. So as a licensed clinician, it would be possibly perceived as inappropriate or stepping over the lines in some way to be encouraging others to have these experiences to more fully understand what the universe is, how it works, and what our place is in it. By using psychedelic drugs and or even a little bit more palatable, these things called medicines. Now, since having had that experience now, almost 2 months out from that, 2.5 months out from that, I have become very aware, keenly aware, that our whole idea about these substances is really inaccurate. So I'm going to ask Jim to read us another definition of the word psychedelic, and then we're going to marry up the two of these things, and the rest of our podcast will explore why we have a misled concept of what is happening under their influence and what's really going on.
All right. Well, the definition of psychedelic is relating to or denoting drugs, especially LSD, that produced hallucinations and apparent expansion of consciousness.
So I'm laughing once again by just the notion of consciousness is what it is. It doesn't expand, which is what the definition just said, expanding consciousness. So we have this notion that Carl Jung coined decades ago of this collective, both consciousness and collective unconsciousness, works both ways. But this notion that consciousness is expanding, so no, it really isn't. That's like saying, you know, is the earth expanding? Is my mind expanding? No, I'm just becoming more aware is really what it is. So this can get really...
Let's take a step back here, because okay. the cores of much of the metaphysical spiritual evolution is about the expansion of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So let's be clear here, really clear, crystal clear about what you're really trying to say, because in physics, energy is always expanding. It's always looking for the places to expand. So to say that consciousness isn't expanding and evolving kind of seems not true. But I mean, at least from my perspective, so I'm trying to understand where you're coming from, because you used the Jungian reference. So I was seeing that as the idea of that consciousness, meaning the ego, the part of the consciousness that is not attached or related to the spark of God within each of us, that doesn't expand. That consciousness that Carl Jung referred to doesn't expand. It is the ego centric body. It is the focus of the physical reality. It is not the nature of our expanded reality. So so where I'm going with this is I'm wondering if there isn't actually a real differentiation between not only the physical and the metaphysical, but how we define the terms within the physical and the metaphysical.
Right.
So that we're understanding, because I could see that a lot of our listeners might get really like seriously confused or even turn us off and go, these people are losing their minds. What do you mean consciousness doesn't expand? So can you speak to that a little bit? Where does that land for you and in where you're going with this?
Sure. Well, the context that the conversation has to be put in is, are you looking at the term of consciousness universally, or are you looking at it with regard to our experience of it? So with a limited experience or a limited ability to observe consciousness as a human being, as you have a greater ability to observe it and experience it, it would seem like you would use the expression mind expanding to describe what that experience is. But it's really no difference than when I just lift these up, I can't see very far. When I put these on, oh wow, I can see a lot more clearly and a lot farther now. But what I'm seeing didn't change. This doesn't change whether I have it, my glass. I'm just laughing okay. right now because everybody on YouTube can see what I'm doing, but nobody in the audio world can see what I'm doing. I'm lifting my glasses up an inch so that I'm only using my eyes to look forward
yes.
to perceive what my eyes are looking at. And when I put my glasses on, I'm seeing clearly and I can see far and everything has much better definition and perspective. But what I'm seeing didn't change. Only so, my perception of it changed.
So what you're saying is that the idea of expanding consciousness is actually expanding awareness to a consciousness that already exists?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
So we are learning how to dial into something that is actually growing and expanding, but it's not consciousness, it's energy, which is different. So energy is constantly expanding, but who we are, our original source makeup, that spark, that connection to all that is already, it is. So what we're doing is that we are becoming more aware and expanding our awareness of the magnitude of who we are. And that looks like we're expanding when really we're changing our perception. Am I getting that?
Yeah, in the right we're getting direction? More clarity and more awareness, more definition okay. of all of that. Absolutely. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. No, that's great. That helps settle the kind of what do you mean we're not expanding? What does that mean? How could you say that? So that's good. That's really really mm-hmm. good stuff.
And does the metaphor of the glasses really make that simple?
Oh, yeah.
Glasses on, glasses off, completely different experience, but yet nothing really changed in that.
All of that potentiality is still there. Mm-hmm. It didn't go anywhere, but it's such an amazing metaphor for so much, you know, but I mean, even in the context of this particular, you know, are you able to differentiate between the physical and the metaphysical? That's such a totally bomb example because in the physical, you're looking, you need the aid of a glass to see distance. So, or you need it to see close, whatever it is that's happening because your eyes aren't there. But when you take that support mechanism off, the only thing that's different is you're not as clear as you were a second ago.
Right.
And that's pretty remarkable. I wanted to throw one other thing in here in the mix because it's going to come up, and that's the definition of drug. A medicine or other substance which has a physiological effect when ingested or otherwise introduced into the body.
Okay.
And a similar synonym for that word drug is medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing us back to where we were,
right.
where we're lifting off.
So what has become inconsistent for me in this discussion about using plants in a ceremonial, honoring, respectful practice to help us more fully understand ourselves and our place in the universe and the universe doesn't mean that we're broken and we're in need of a medicine.
Let's say that one more time.
Yeah.
Would you?
So the use of these plants, all these different plants, does not mean that we're broken and we need a medicine simply to see more clearly who we are, what the nature of humanity is, what the condition of the human condition is, and our place in the universe. those three things is what all of us are, well, not all of us, but some of us are exploring and very curious about and wanting to know more of. But that doesn't mean that we're broken or damaged or need fixing or even healing, such that we would think that that's going to happen when we take these medicines.
We just need to put the glasses on.
We just need to put the glasses on, yeah. And some might say, well, that means your eyes are damaged. No, they're not. They're not damaged. My eyes are okay. They're out of focus. They need some assistance. And
well,
also,
but there's actual science to that. There's actual science to that. We only see us a very limited spectrum through our eyes. And the spectrum that we see is minuscule compared to what's available, which is the same with our hearing. So it's interesting. This is so interesting because all of our senses are somewhat limited,
yes,
just by their nature. So mm-hmm. this idea that we're trying to put the glasses on, so to speak, to be able to see more clearly, to be
right.
able to differentiate.
Right. Just like tonight when the sun sets. Here's another funny one. I almost said when the sun goes down, sun's not going down, but yet everybody would call it the sun's going down and the sun rises. So we use all these concepts and terms to describe an experience that isn't really happening. And so for the sake of our podcast and the work that we've been doing on having a better understanding of who we are, and our course to do that is through the exploration of truth. We're calling ourselves truthologists because it's the study of truth. And in that process, we're learning what's not true or what really isn't true, but yet we use it. And by using these terms, we're confusing ourselves and we're limiting the true appreciation, the true nature, the true experience of what we are and where we are and what we're doing here. So to push this a little bit further, I mentioned a moment ago, I was thinking of the use of the eyewear, and Jim brought up this notion of the limited spectrum that our human eye sees in the full spectrum of light. And if the sun were to set and I would put some night vision goggles on, I would not think that there was a limitation like there was before the sun went down. I'd still be able to see. And to me, that's what these medicines, see, there I go again. I've trained myself to think of these plants as medicine, and it's so deeply entrained in my thinking that it's going to keep coming up. And people might say, well, why are you getting so hung up on a word? And my response to that would be the power of the spoken word is quite profound, and it's coming from a subconscious understanding of our relationship to these things. So it's really important to get the words right. It's very important to get the words right, not just because you're a wordsmith or you're splitting hairs or whatnot. The words have power behind them. And yes. I'm just putting it out there that for those people that are interested in plants giving us an experience that we could more fully understand and know who we are, that we don't need to think of them as medicines. We don't need to think of ourselves as broken or that we need healing. It's simply being able to see better, being able to know better who we are, where we are, and what we're doing here, which is really cool. I mean, that's a fun path to be on.
Yes. So let's take this just a little bit. We got a few minutes before we go to break here. I want to just kind of distill this a little bit because, you know, we started off talking about the physical and the metaphysical. We're dealing with needing to understand the differentiation. So there's a whole lot that goes on within the physical world that we have defined and redefined and overdefined and created consciousness of that is limited, that is not necessarily serving our progress to seeing better in our analogy here, to putting on the glasses, to seeing our full potential. So the need for the metaphysical is that it provides that, it's like the reading glasses. It enables us to use the plant therapy to see better, to put on the right color glasses so that we're seeing for true what we're seeing. I can tell you from my own personal experience, having observed it directly, that if you come into a ceremony or in involvement in plant thinking you're broken, your experience will be very challenging because not only are you trying to see into the metaphysical, you're using a physical limitation that has to be moved for you to do that. And once you're in the medicine will move that physical block. And whether that movement is you getting completely freaked out or having a quote bad trip, that's all about your attachment and resistance to what is physical and not allowing the lens to sharpen on the metaphysical so that you can more clearly see and make those connections and release the things that bind you in the physical.
Right. I found it interesting that you used the term therapy as a way to try to not continue down that path, which I believe is better. But even the use of the word therapy in most people's minds, if you need therapy, if you're seeking therapy, you're in pain, you're suffering, there's something wrong,
something.
And you're seeking. So if there is anything wrong, it would be our frustration of our limited awareness of who we are and what the universe is and how it all works. And if you want to look at it in that context, but it's really, to me, it's more of a discovery. It's more of an experiment that what the plants allow us to do is put the glasses on so that we can see how things really are. Without the glasses on, we really believe in Newtonian physics and quantum mechanics. And I actually got those backwards, but people can follow me through that. But we really so desperately want to believe that we live in a physical world. And because finances work that way and the economy works that way and wars and property, the idea of property, you know, we come here to have these physical experiences. There is nothing wrong with having a physical experience, but it really has nothing to do with how things really work.
Right.
So I'm going to let that sink in for a minute.
Let's let that sink in while we go to break, and we'll dive in more thoroughly, particularly about how to, thinking of it in terms of ceremony and how that changes the perspective. And also a quick touch on how do you address physical ailment in metaphysical experience. And we'll do that right after we come back.
Are you feeling stuck or in a holding pattern with your business or life, and you're not doing the things you want or love? Then at some point, you're going to be faced with a decision. You'll either choose to keep living in your comfort zone and risk a life of mediocrity, or increase your courage, step into your power, and forge into the unknown, where everything new becomes possible. If you're truly ready to live masterfully, then you need Ken D. Foster's newest book, The Courage to Change Everything, Strategies and Wisdom to Transform Your Life One Day at a Time. This powerful but simple guide provides you with 365 days of life-transforming wisdom, profound questions, and action steps that will increase your strength and open the doors to success. Stop wondering why your business or life isn't working. The answers are available now. Imagine if you had more courage or another chance to start following your dreams. To pick up your copy of The Courage to Change Everything, visit thecouragetochangeeverything.com. That's thecouragetochangeeverything.com.
All right, we're back. Ready to dive into the next level of this conversation. Let's take this to what we were talking about before the break. You were talking, again, this differentiation between the physical and the metaphysical. And also, let's touch a little bit in this segment on addressing how you, when you're dealing with physical issue, like for real, like you need, you know, you need a pill, you need a drug, whatever. Let's dive into that a little bit more. Let's go ahead with where we were.
You bet. So I would go so far as to say, if you have something that's bothering you in the physical realm and you're looking for something physical to be the solution, you're going to be at that for a long time. Mm-hmm. That the true nature of the, if there is something that you're going to use the word problem, to me, it's a lesson. There's a lesson that shows up. We don't like it. It's difficult, so we call it a problem. And if it's showing up in your body in some way in the physical experience, we're trained to think of the solution to be in the physical. And you can get some relief from the physical, but you won't actually get to the solution in the physical. The body is by the time something gets to the body, it's the way that the relationship between the mind and the body works that we ignored it in the mind. We ignored it in the conscious, subconscious experience. And we have anxiety, we have frustration, we have an emotional disturbance in our field that we're not paying attention to. So that in turn then manifests into the physical body to the point of an acre of pain. And if gone on long enough, a chronic experience of that then shows up as a dis-ease. So the longer you let these issues go on that start off in the mind, which would be some distortion of truth, otherwise known as a lie, that then creates an emotional disturbance as a feeling, anxiety, depression, frustration. And if continued ignoring will then manifest itself in the body. And if you go to the doctor to get some Vicodin or Valium, or you get a surgery, it doesn't change the source of the real origin of the problem, which is back to the mind, back to the thinking, back to the belief systems. And that's in the metaphysical.
Yes.
So there's
it was a good, really good description too, in helping the listeners understand that what we create physically actually started metaphysically, meaning it was an inattention. And if for those of you who've been following us for a while, you'll remember that our friend, the shaman, Paul, down in Peru, called that samskara. And that is, he referenced that a bunch, I think, in the last episode we did with him. Those are those energy things that get stuck because we don't choose to address them when they're present. So they just stay there. They don't go anywhere. And the more we ignore them and the more we resist them, they become denser and denser until, as you were describing, it becomes a physical issue. But it's so important to understand, because it's not a lot of times where this conversation gets hung up is it becomes a blame game. Oh, so you're blaming the victim now. Well, that in of itself is a whole other issue. That's a whole problem to itself in thought process. But the idea of just in basic understanding, if you can get clear about what's physical and what's metaphysical, and then understand that the physical is the end result, not the starting point. And that end point then becomes a place where we have to unravel that energy to get it to dissipate, to get it to go to somewhere else so that we can focus into the metaphysical for the release and or quote unquote healing.
Right. So when people are reluctant to truly seek out the source of the disturbance in their field, we will spend years and decades exploring physical ways to feel better, even if it's something like yoga, which would be a good thing to do. But you can do yoga physically, and you can also work it backwards so that the physical helps you understand and experience the metaphysical that happens in the yogic practice. And
which is a metaphysical practice.
Yes. Yoga by definition is a unity, a oneness or an allness, as opposed to the duality of a separateness, which is back to the separateness between the physical and the metaphysical. So we have a metaphysical experience mentally. When there's a disturbance, that's going to create a negative emotional feeling-based component that will ultimately show up in the body negatively. So we have to reverse the process. You can go from the bottom up, letting the body show you, obviously there's a disturbance I didn't pay attention to, and it will continue until I take it back to its source. So what these plants, in my opinion, allow us to do is bypass the distraction of the physical and get in straight into deeply, deeply into the metaphysical in such a profound way that it's freaking undeniable. You cannot deny what your experience is under the influence of these plants, unless you let your ego come back in and describe it as a psychedelic experience and think of it as a hallucination, which would imply what you just experienced was not real. And if you do this long enough and you're open-minded enough, what you'll find is it's just the opposite. Our life in the physical domains, the limits of physics, is what's not real. And what the plants allow us to do is capture a brief glimpse into the reality of the universe and not think of it as a hallucination, but the actual reality of what is. And then you have the ability to go, wow, I've been, you know, I've got my glasses on now. I've got my my true reality glasses on. And when I take those off and go back to living my physical life, that's really the hallucination. That's really the distortion of truth that we're all very good at playing. And again, our whole economy is set up that way. We go to war that way. We believe in property and we believe you're you and I'm me and separateness and division. And the physical world is totally set up to support all of those opposite of yoga, oneness, allness experiences.
Well, and here's another piece of this that I think is important to understand with regard to truth, is that when you encounter true truth, when you encounter truth in your reality, there's no way to wiggle out of it unless you go into abject denial. Like when truth shows up, it's just there. And it's such a liberating thing to experience the truth in whatever capacity from whatever experience, that the experience, you know, the statement, the truth shall set you free. The reality of that is because you dial into the energy of truth and it resonates so profoundly that there's nowhere to move from it. And it's so relieving that you can just surrender to it and allow that to take over.
Right.
The other option is what I was saying before, which is to go into abject denial, which is the beginning of what could potentially be a diseased process or a diseased physical body, because you've shut down the metaphysical channel to who you truly are. So it's such an amazing dynamic of understanding, you know, the metaphysical has been turned into some circus word. You know, that they're crystal crunching tree huggers and metaphysics is not viable somehow. And I think what we're trying to say is that it is not only is it viable, it's an integral part of our entire experience. And to deny that understanding creates harm. it creates harm in our experience for ourselves.
Well, somewhere in whoever designed this experience that we have by coming to this planet, some people call it a third dimensional experience, that is so focused on, and it's so important to have these physical experiences that create sensory stimulation that is both amazingly euphoric at times and horrifically painful at times, that there's true value that apparently can only happen in this dimension. And without taking the podcast into a whole nother topic of talking about different dimensions, we have to honor and respect that we're in this dimension.
Right.
And the purpose of using plants to help you momentarily see how things really are is simply, it's like a nice thing to know that we're really okay. The disillusion of the ego and being able to see the universe as it really is, and truly, as Jim said a moment ago, by interjecting the concept of truth into this discussion, we've established before that truth and the energy of love are synonymous, and that lies and the energy of fear are synonymous. So you're either going to be in one of those two domains. You can't be in love and fear at the same time. You can't be in truth and lie at the same time. So what these plants allow us to do by ingesting them and getting them into our body, which is physical. So we're taking a physical thing and we're putting it into a physical body in order to have a metaphysical experience. So chew on that one for a moment.
And it's a perfect time to take a break.
All right.
We'll be back right after this. All right, folks, we're going to take just a quick minute to talk about some of the amazing things that are happening here at Adventures in Truth Podcast and the Science of Transformation. Look, over the course of the next couple months, we're going to be having some extraordinary things offered for our listeners. We have some workshops coming down the pike. We're working on actually two different books. which are going to become available here shortly. And we'd encourage you to take a moment to check out our website, www.adventuresintruth.com, where you can check out all the things that we're going to be doing, places that we'll be. You'll also be able to access all of your favorite podcast platforms there to listen to our show and check out our YouTube page as well. So lots going on here at Adventures in Truth, and we're glad you're here, and welcome back to the show. Jeffrey, amazing topic. We are coming to the point of bringing it all back together.
Right. So people that are open to the idea about using medicines to have a more complete understanding of ourselves, the universe we live in, and how the universe works. And when I say people, I also want to include organizations like the Veterans Administration, which is the largest medical organization in the Western Hemisphere. Mm-hmm. So huge dollars, huge amount of brain power, huge issue of dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder to combat veterans. And the VA is fully on board now with recognizing the value of using plants to what they're calling lower and re-baseline our fear threshold. So the notion would be through the course of exposing yourself to violence and trauma, whether it's on the combat, the battlefield or not, isn't a requirement. Trauma is trauma. Mm-hmm. Over time, our mind becomes hypersensitive to the possibility of anything jumping out at us and surprising us and hurting us at any time. So our ego is very, very oriented toward the physical world and the possibility of pain, suffering, and death. It's what it's wired to, programmed to. It can't not do that.
Yeah, it's its only job. Keep you on the planet.
So the idea isn't to get rid of it, but the idea is to not let it run your experience. So what the plants allow us to do is see that we're really not living in a physical world. We're having that experience, but we're really having that experience inside of a metaphysical universe, which we call consciousness. You cannot hold consciousness in your hand, but the power of consciousness can create your hand. So think about that for a second. That's pretty darn cool that the manifestation of the energy of consciousness can create physical matter. I remember Deepak Chopra talked about the zero sum total energy in the universe. If you take all the positive energy and all the negative energy like black holes and antimatter and you put it together, you get zero. But by taking it into the positive, taking energy into the positive or the negative, you can actually create and account for matter that way. So you can create something out of nothing, which is one way of describing consciousness as no thing, becoming thing, by dividing out the positive and the negative creates matter, creates our experience. And we in this third dimension in our limited ability as humans are just kind of getting clued into the possibility of that. And if we use one holy book as a reference, we're referred to as co-creators. So if we think of ourselves and we're willing to take on the accountability and the responsibility of creating our experience, that can both be in the physical and in the metaphysical. What you can touch, feel, and see, and what you can believe and experience and create along your path here, along the journey that we're here experiencing. So, without trying to make this all too confusing, we don't want to think of plants as medicine because we're not broken and damaged and we don't need healing and fixing. What we're really searching for is separating the ego away from our metaphysical experience of life that some would call soul, spirit, chi, prana, that other part of us that was before we got here, is here, but is sharing that experience in a physical body and will be when we're no longer here and no longer operating in the limits of a physical body. So it's that part of our mind that the plants allow us to really experience without the filter and the influence of the ego on top of that. So you get a 3, 4, 5 hour ride of noticing your thoughts, being able to travel through the universe, being able to go back and look at things that you've experienced in this life and in past lives, and really get more of a full appreciation of what a lie it is to think of we're here only once, we're born, we live, we die, and that's it. You really get to shatter that paradigm and get to have more of an experience of all of the things I just described that literally is, it impacts you so profoundly, you can no longer deny it. And if there was something called healing, I would say that's what it is right there. It's the undeniable experience of something so amazing and loving and profound that you can't not pay attention to it any longer.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing that I think is really important to notice in this conversation is, and to really bring forward, is that we are not trained to this. So I really want our listeners to really understand. And I know that many of you are already on a path. Many of you have already moved through, you know, lots of different things in your experience. And so, you know, I may not be speaking to you, but I really want to make a point here about, we don't learn this as a part of our social indoctrination as a human being. We come in with the clarity, we come in with the understanding, we come in with a connection, and that connection then over time is drilled out of us, basically, by the abundant focus of physical, by the only focus of physical. And interestingly enough, what we did was we took the metaphysical and made it religion. And so we created a physical structure within the physical world that we call spiritual, which is not spiritual, it's physical, whatever. I'm not going to use a bad word here, but it's physical. So everything then gets to be about the physical, because we've allowed ourselves over time to become so narrowly focused in this must be all there is. So that when the opportunity to discover that there is a whole lot more comes up, it creates in the ego, it creates a huge amount of lack of safety. It creates a huge amount of the ego reaction to this idea that I'm limitless, when the ego itself is limited. The ego itself knows that it's not here permanently. So it struggles and fights to find significance in the context of what is so wildly and crazily significant is the who we are.
Right.
And to Jeff's point earlier, the idea is to integrate that ego, to let it manage the body. That's what it's there for. Let it manage the body process. Give it exercises. Give it things to do to keep its attention on keeping you here on the physical planet, because it's important. The metaphysical piece of this now is being able to take your understanding of what you can create and what is possible for you to such an unbelievable place, meaning when you understand the unlimited potential of your potential, it's probably one of the most overwhelming experiences you'll have in your life. And it takes months to integrate that experience, if not years. It doesn't mean you're stuck and stopped in it. It just means that awareness sets off a chain of events, and that chain of events is the disconnection from the physical in its negative aspects. So all of the attachments to the physical, all of the things that we're trained to believe are important in the physical, and the main one being fear. Fear being trained into the physical experience to such a degree that we use it as a way of not reconnecting and not finding that metaphysical solution. So let's, you know, really wanting to embrace this in a way that, understanding that it's all part of who we are. It's not some of us goofy people over here, you know, thinking in the woo-woo land. I'll tell you straight up, and Jeff is probably very much the same way. If I can't find a practical application for the spirituality, I'm not interested, because I'm here as a physical human being. I want to live this experience as fully as possible. my allowing the metaphysical understanding completely enhances and makes this physical experience blossom, because you recognize the limitations aren't real, the fear's not real. So all of those ideas and beliefs and limiting beliefs and crazy things that we think, the brokenness that we believe exists, the need for medicine, the need for all of that, is a way to deny or not to involve the greatest part of ourself, which has the ultimate potential to make it all whole again. You know, to make us all whole again, which I think is just, how could you not take a bite of that sandwich? How could you not? You know, it's
yeah. I'm wanting to talk a little bit more about the fear that you brought up, and the term of the ego, and the role that you had talked about a little bit ago about how it's so good at protecting, preserving. It believes in a universe of limited resources instead of unlimited resources. And I think most importantly, you said that it must have some idea that it's only here once. It's a one-trick pony. And we would call that personality. So this body, this personality is a one-trick pony. But the true metaphysical part of me, the spirit, chi, prana, soul, whatever you want to call that, has been before, is now, will be, will continue. So there really isn't anything to be afraid of yet, because the ego has no other purpose other than to protect, preserve, and believe in limited resources so that it keeps us all going. When there's a tsunami, a flood, an earthquake, it's that part of the will to survive. It's the part of, I'll take something from you if I have to keep going, as if I have to keep going, because I really don't. I don't have to keep going. If I'm not continuing to go, that means I've learned all the lessons I've needed to learn, and it's actually time for me to go. And so some people are actually here longer than they need to be because their ego isn't willing to let go and just move on to the next phase and the next
their
stage.
Attachment to the physical has limited their ability to release. That's powerful. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just wanting to go into this notion that most people are in search of purpose. Purpose is this huge thing. How many books and life coaches and all these people, the whole industry around purpose. Yep. It's only the ego that needs purpose.
And we did a podcast on this, mm-hmm. if you remember. And the understanding of that is that this very existence is purpose. The fact that I am on this planet is purpose. The fact that I came out of a womb, I am purpose. I came fully loaded, you know? Right.
So the ego is going to look at purpose as it needs to do something in the physical. I got to write a book. I got to win a prize. I got to leave a headstone. It's looking to do something in the physical because that's the world that it lives in. And what Jim was talking about, the purpose, if there is a purpose for soul and spirit, it's to do three things: to learn to love and accept itself, and to stop judging. And the ego has no ability to do that. And that's the constant battle that it's in with our soul spirit, is it wants to do, it's a human doing, rather than our soul spirit being a human being, with the only true thing that all of us have in common, the only reason that we really come here, is to learn to love and accept ourselves and to stop judging. And any judgment is going to provoke fear. It will always show up because it's the belief that whatever's happening should not be happening, that there's a problem here. Hello.
Yeah. And there's on that note, here. We're going to stop again for a quick break, and we'll be back right after this short break.
Ranking Mastery is offering listeners a free 60-minute training. In this training, you will learn 5 simple things to get positioned in Google for all the products and services you offer. Together, we will learn and discover key phrases customers search all the time. Go to rankingmastery.com, look for the free training button, and enter the code MYFREETRAINING. We urge you to hurry because spots are limited, and similar trainings of this kind can easily cost thousands of dollars. Learn from the best, those who have generated over $4 million using these same exact strategies, so that your company can take advantage of the top positioning in Google without having to spend tens of thousands of dollars on Google Ads or SEO agencies. Remember, your potential clients are searching Google every day for products and services just like yours, and this is your chance to claim your position on the web. The only way to get this amazing deal is to visit rankingmastery.com, click the free training button. Again, that's rankingmastery.com.
So the medicines and the journeys that people can experience through the kind, respectful, ceremonial, reflective, integrating process of incorporating these experiences into your life allows you to, again, truly see what really is, rather than what the ego wants to allow us to see. It's as if we have a welder's helmet on. If you've ever worn one, the glass is really, really dark so that it filters out the light that can potentially or will hurt the retina of the eye. And it's as if, you know, you want to preserve your vision. So in that intensity of light, you need to block it out. But somehow our ego works that way, that it wants to be in control. It wants to, again, believe in a limited resources. It wants to leave a legacy. It wants to matter. And if we can tell it does matter, and that we aren't trying to get rid of it, we just don't want it to run our lives. And I got to talk about this process of controlled remote viewing for a moment. And it's a technique that I learned and got pretty good at it. And I presented at the International Remote Viewers Annual Conference a number of years ago, the non-local perceptions that I use in my clinical-based practice of helping people have visions outside of their normal perceptions. So if you're going to take a journey back in time to visit a past trauma, that's a non-local perception. That the way that it works in remote viewing is you start out the process with giving the viewer a 10-digit target number. And the comedy in this is that the 10-digit target number does not serve in any way to help the part of the mind that has the ability to perceive non-local perceptions to actually go find the target. It's a ruse or it's a distraction for the part of the mind that believes it's a code and I've got to crack the code. And essentially, in order to be a skilled remote viewer, you have to learn how to differentiate between local perceptions run by the ego and non-local perceptions that's run by the spirit or the soul or the chi or the prana or whatever you're going to call that part of our mind that allows us to hope all things, believe all things, and just be in that energy of love, be in that energy of consciousness. So anytime in remote viewing that a person would use a noun to describe what their experience was, we would know that that's actually not the target. And so it's really fascinating to use the different part of your mind. I'm not going to go too much farther into the skills and techniques of remote viewing, just that I find it very interesting that that's what the medicines allow us to do, is it lets the mind believe that this physical chemical molecule is responsible for my psychedelic, non-real experience. So all the definitions that we started off with were written by the ego.
Yep.
And that's what is confusing everybody, because people that have had the experiences go, wait a minute, that's like so far away from what my experience was. It's not even funny. And that's what keeps fear around telling people don't have these experiences. You're going to hurt yourself. You're going to do something wrong. You shouldn't venture off into the outer limits of the ego. And I'm saying, yeah, you actually should. That's where true reality is.
Let me interject to go back to when you're talking about the remote viewing, that it actually tied directly into what I wanted to talk about just for a minute here. And that is, there's an exercise that our listeners can do, guys, if you're interested in wanting to understand what is the difference between what is the physical or the ego and what is the spirit or the soul in that regard. And you can actually, believe it or not, you experience it every day, even though you don't realize it. So there's a voice that you've heard in your head. And now I'm 55 years old. The voice that I hear is the same voice that I've heard my entire life. So think about that a second. From the time that you can remember that you would think, there's a voice that you've listened to over time that has never changed. Then there's the ego. So there is this voice, this deep inner voice that you hear all the time. You listen to it all the time. It has influence. It has whatever. It isn't, to Jeff's point, it doesn't judge. It doesn't do anything. It's just a presence. It's a voice that you, when you talk to yourself, that voice is that observer. That is the observer of us. And the difference is that the ego, and the other thing that happens is that when you understand or when you can connect to that voice never creates an impact like the ego does, meaning it doesn't speak to you in ways that creates emotional conflict. It doesn't speak to you in ways that causes you to have an emotional response, because it is you. It is the naturalist part of you. Whenever the ego starts running its mouth and starts trying to direct the show, there will always be an emotional outcome to that conversation, because it will either be somewhat in line with the voice that is the soul or not in line with at all. And that's either positive emotion or negative emotion. And so differentiating those, it's really possible just to be quiet and seek the voice that you've heard your whole life that's never changed. I know that sounds odd, but if you stop and think of it and be with it for a minute, there's a friend that's been with you forever that you always hear the same way. And I hear it the same way now, today, as I heard it when I was 10. The ego has radically changed over time. It changes voices, it changes attempts, it changes everything. But anyway, I wanted to provide sort of that, you know, a way for our viewers to kind of touch into that a little bit, without getting too deep into it, which we can do at a later point. But then taking this now in our last couple of minutes to bring it all home. It's all yours, Jeff.
Yeah, that was nice. And I liked the concept of a friend. In a future podcast, perhaps we can venture off into the notion of a higher self. But to me, that would either be the voice of the higher self, our true self, yes, or just the voice of consciousness that we're channeling, that is universal to everyone, that doesn't make you an individual, but it just makes you a drop in the ocean of the allness or the oneness or the Advaita or the yoga. That is very comforting to know that consciousness is not afraid. Only the ego is afraid. Again, these medicines allow us, we started out our podcast by talking about the differentiation between the physical and the metaphysical. And these plants allow us to have such a profound metaphysical experience that the physical world becomes more boring or just less concerning, if you will, particularly around things like pain and illness and injury and frustration and heartbreak. It's just like you can see that stuff isn't, it's not really real. You can experience it if you operate in that domain. And that's the conundrum that we're all in, is which domain are we going to operate in? Are we going to truly live in the physical world and therefore have all of the physical pains and discomforts that come along with that? Or are we going to make a shift more toward the metaphysical and operate in kindness and compassion and love and oneness and allness and unity and a never-ending experience? Just this thing just keeps going and going and going, which is very, to me, encouraging and promising.
Yep. And ultimately, I think, you know, as we talked about at the beginning, the idea is understanding that denying one reality or another is denying a portion of self. It's denying a portion of your existence. And so I think it's really important here that there is no wrong or bad choice. There is only choice. And those choices, what we try to do here in presenting our, you know, what we see as dissecting truth and presenting it to all of you guys out there, is to have this other alternative place to understand our existence. If you're not wanting to go there, then don't go there. Experience your life the way you experience it and enjoy it in the way that you're experiencing it. But if you're not, then open the door and be willing to step over the threshold, so that you can take it to a whole other level that you never even knew, maybe even knew existed. Right. And it does exist. It's not fantasy. It's not an illusion. It's more real than anything we're experiencing on the planet.
Absolutely.
And anything else you'd like to close with us for us, Jeff? Anything else you
want
to bring?
Just a final thought of anybody listening. If there are some that would be very curious about finding somewhere, someone, or books or whatnot. And there's just so much out there right now on Netflix and Amazon, and just gosh, you name it. There's so much information about the benefits, the intrigue of what these plants can offer to help us understand more about who we are, where we are, where all that sort of thing. But it's not a necessity. I hope the podcasts, the way that we're talking about this, isn't saying you got to go have these experiences. Because meditation and yoga, there's many, many times, many ways to get there. And this is just one.
Well said. Thanks, everybody out there, for joining us. We will see you again very soon. Thanks much.
Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth podcast. If you would like to listen to more or to explore all our offerings, visit us on the web at www.adventuresintruthpodcast.com. We also offer video versions of our podcast. Visit our page on YouTube at Adventures in Truth Podcast. We would love to hear from you. Like, connect, and follow with us on Facebook. Want to book us for your next podcast or to speak at your event? Head over to our webpage at www.adventuresintruthpodcast.com at the bottom of the page and send us a note. Thank you so much for listening. We look forward to seeing you again at Adventures in Truth Podcast.